You're listening to Voice Memos, the show about two longtime friends who have informative, yet brief discussions about multitudinous topics. If you want to go deep into a topic, this is not the podcast for you. We keep it shallow. Now, please welcome your hosts, Jen and Myron.
Do we get this right this time? We're not coming on and then giving our audience 2 minutes of you trying to figure out the volume.
You know, for someone who changed the start time 9 times for this podcast, you sure are coming in with a lot of fire.
Coming in hot. Oh my God. Speaking of hot, at least it's not 95 degrees.
You know what? I am so pleasantly surprised that our weather is very moderate right now.
Very moderate. It's very nice. 88 degrees. It is perfect. I can't complain. Nor would I complain even when it's 95.
I won't complain when it's 95. So.
Oh, I know. I know. And the older you get, I think you get worse.
You know, talking about the weather thing. So I've lived in a few different states, and I've lived in Iowa. I lived in Denver, called Denver, Colorado, and in D.C. and for a minute in I think Virginia. But in all of those places, in talking to local people, they have said something about the weather that's like it, like this. They have said, you don't like our weather? Just stick around, it'll change. And they say it as if no one else has ever said that.
Was that your white person voice?
It was.
I knew it. I heard it. You're like,
really, you know what? I just really enjoy the hokiness that some white people have. It's just so pure. It's just...
You're getting me mad there, buddy. That's exactly.
Now, wait just a minute.
Oh my God. All the stuff that white people say, like when a line, when they're in front and then they look behind them and there's a long line, they're like, we got here just in time.
It's so good. Or like they get angry, like they get angry and they'll say something like, it'll be, hey, buddy, what's your problem? Oh, such good sage. It's like that stuff should be used. It's so good.
Everywhere. Like immediately put your guard down. You're like, did you just call me buddy? Okay, so last week we had a lot to talk about because I got back from Los Angeles and we talked about that, which did not leave time for us to talk about just politically what's going on. And when I say us, you are usually the provider of the information where I am learning something and I'm asking you questions. So I think it's really important that we talk about where we are with the Trump trial. What are your thoughts around, do you think he'll be convicted? When do you think it'll end? And how about his tweet? I think it was during his lunch break or something about, it was almost like a fascist comment. I'm trying to remember what it said, but I want to get your thoughts.
Okay, so his trial in New York, that's the one where it has concluded. They did the final arguments. I want to say it was yesterday.
Okay.
We're recording this on Wednesday, so that was Monday or Tuesday. And then the judge said, Marchand is his name. He said, I think he's going to give a ruling Friday, Monday or something like that. And this is the one where Michael Cohen paid off Stormy Daniels, the sex worker Stormy Daniels, $130,000 or so. And from Donald Trump, from the Trump organization, so that she would not go to the press and that the press would not run with that story of that because he was a candidate for president. And when you become a candidate for president officially, there are a lot of rules. And so him hiding money and using campaign money or business money to pay pay her off to keep quiet. And then also, as part of that trial, it came out that he was paying off the National Enquirer, because he's friends with the owner, to catch and kill, meaning buy the rights to those stories and kill them. Don't run them. And they had showed that he had been paying them off for a while to
Yeah.
keep his dirt out of the news, and not just rumors or salacious gossip, but actual stuff like this thing. And so this is a trial where he could theoretically go to prison over, because there are not only campaign finance laws broken, there are business laws in the state of New York, and stuff like that. And this is the same charges that Michael Cohen did go to prison over. So we know you can go to prison over what he did. And so Michael Cohen was a witness against him. Stormy Daniels was a witness against him, and a few other people, and his attorneys, because he just doesn't get good attorneys. And his because he doesn't need good attorneys, because what he needs are attorneys that can find things to delay trials and things. And so they
Wow.
tried to delay this for so long, but finally, it made it to court. And I've been going around social media trying to find what people with law people, lawyers and former judges and people like that, were saying about the trial. And because it went to a jury trial, most were saying that, look, he could be convicted and sentenced to prison, just like Michael Cohen did. He had to do prison time over this. And most were saying that his defense was really terrible, because even when they tried to do gotchas against Michael Cohen, saying, you're going to make money off this. And he was like, well, yeah, because there's money in this whole situation, and it actually benefits him if Trump isn't found guilty. So they were showing that he wasn't. That he could benefit. He wasn't trying to harm himself or harm Trump, because he would make more money if Trump was guilty. So their gotcha sort of backfired. And this is also the trial where the judge continued to issue gag orders against Donald Trump, because he was threatening the judge, the jury's family, the judge's family, everybody. And so he kept doing gag orders. And finally, this is a trial that Donald Trump, for the past 6 months, was saying he could not wait to testify, but that motherfucker did not testify, right? Because he cannot withstand questioning under oath, where he's forced to tell the truth under penalty of perjury and more prison time. He can't do that. Unlike Hillary Clinton, who was called to testify to Benghazi, and Republicans kept her there for 11 straight hours. 11 straight hours. And she
Okay.
just sat there and told the truth, because she had the truth on her side. And so not only did he not testify, in order to circumvent the gag order, he trotted out Republicans, elected Republicans, representatives from Congress, to come to New York to stand outside the courthouse and to blast the judge, blast the jury, blast Democrats, blast the president, everybody. In front of the cameras. Now, think about that. These are the people who are elected, right? And they're supposed to be in Washington, D.C., working. These are the people who said, COVID, you should not shut business, make people go back to work. They were taking time off to go to New York to do a press conference for the former president, who is on criminal trial. And these are the law and order people. Like, it is beyond, it's hard to imagine this happening. You could not imagine this happening with, we always use Barack Obama because that's just a great standard. You could not imagine how the news would, and a big part of America would absolutely fucking implode if he was on criminal trial somewhere and elected officials went to go support him outside the courthouse. Like, this is not normal. Okay, so now we're waiting for the judgment. And so the options are, they could end up in a hung jury, right? Because all Donald Trump needs is one,
Yep.
right? And he probably will get a one. It could be he could be found guilty and the judge could just fine him. He could be found guilty and the judge could they could sentence him to prison. Most people, most of the pundits think, and these are not just liberal or conservative pundits. I looked at a fair mix. Most believe he will not go to prison.
You don't think so?
No, and I've said for 4 years.
What if you're Michael Cohen, right? So he's in prison for the same exact thing. It reminds me of, hey, you get to be a remote employee. You're doing the same job, but this other person doesn't get to be a remote employee. Like, bitch, what do you mean? We both did the same thing. Why does that person not have to do that?
Exactly right. Exactly. And so, but we know, Americans know that we have an unequal, unfair, unjust, two-tiered justice system. That wealth is one justice system for wealthy people, and it's one justice system for people who are not wealthy. And that really crosses race as well. That if you're wealthy, you can generally work the system so you don't have to go to prison. Now, whether or not Donald Trump was wealthy is a whole nother thing. But the fact is that even if he's convicted, and even if the judge says, we're going to sentence you to a year in prison, that even if that by some miracle that happens, Donald Trump's team will issue an immediate appeal, right? And they will say that he cannot go to prison because he's campaigning and they'll think of all this kind of stuff. Because everything Donald Trump has done since leaving off, being forced out of office after the insurrection, stealing documents, the Stormy Daniels payment scam, everything has been geared towards if I can stay out of jail until the election, if I can win the election, I will pardon myself. So all of his actions is just towards if I can get back in office, I can make all this go away. So I just delay things as long as I can. As a matter of fact, even some of the January 6th people, there was a January 6th guy convicted yesterday, and he screamed and cussed out the judge. He said, I don't even care because Donald Trump will be reelected in 6 months. He's going to pardon me.
Oh, God.
He said that in court to the judge. So this trial, we should know in the next few days the outcome. I think just like Michael Cohen got convicted, the evidence is there. Donald Trump should be convicted and should be sentenced to jail. Now, it's not like a 5 or 10 year deal. Michael Cohen did, I don't know, a year, 18 months or something like that. But even that, they're not, I don't think they're going to do it. And
Yeah.
so that's the one thing. The other thing, he released, he pushed out an ad because he's actively campaigning for president. He pushed out an ad saying, you know, he should be president, all this stuff. And in the background of the ad, it is there in clear writing, established a new right, meaning and it's REIGH, like the
Yeah.
Nazis in Germany used, like the Third Reich. And he has it right there in his deal. And after he got exposed and everything, they do what they his team and he did what they always do. They said, oh, an intern did it, or a staffer did it, or something like that. And this is how they slowly normalize the things they're doing. So that a day later, even Fox News was saying, it's not really a big deal that the word right was in his campaign. It's just a word. It's just a word. That's not really a big deal. They're just making a big deal out of it. Democrats they just think everything is bad. That's how you normalize things. Right, you say, oh, it's not a big deal, it's okay, and Fox News is running with it. That's not a big deal, not a big deal. Yeah, and so they tell you up front, this is what
Who
we're
they
doing.
are. Yeah, they have showed us numerous times who they are.
Yep. It's just right there. So you have that happening, and then you have so that's the Trump kind of news. The other campaign news is today. We have the results of a few different elections across the country. In Georgia, importantly, District Attorney Fannie Lewis was reelected by a wide margin. And so she, Lewis, I said Lewis, Willis. So she is the one where the Trump trial in Georgia, they tried to attack her and her personal life and say that it should be a mistrial, but they have they had nothing on it. That all got thrown out. She was reelected, and the trial and all that stuff happening in Georgia. And that's the one Rudy Giuliani and a few other people are. Some people are also been sentenced to jail, but the others are is still pending, where they went to Georgia to do two things. One, to they wanted the Georgia workers, the Georgia voting commissioner, to add 11,000 votes for Donald Trump so he could win the state. And then so they were actively calling them and trying to get them to change the votes, which is illegal. And then they also intimidated two poll workers, two women, a mother and daughter, as a matter of fact. And those women have sued, and they've won their lawsuits specifically against Rudy Giuliani. He hasn't paid it yet, but they won their lawsuits against him. And then he's still under indictment in trouble. He thought he got away with some stuff in, I don't know, Michigan or Wisconsin or something. And he actually had the nerve to tweet out, you know what, if they can't serve me papers by, midnight or something, I'm free. Nothing can happen according to their law. And he was celebrating his birthday at Mar-a-Lago, and the process servers were there. They served his ass that night on his birthday. They served him at Mar-a-Lago. Oh my God. So there's that. And then an election up in Oregon, Democrats flipped some seats, or one more seats. And ever since 2020, Democrats have been quietly flipping Republican held seats, because despite what the news tell you, and even on social media, since President Biden got elected, the Democrats have been winning elections all over the country. And they've been winning not only in heavily Democratic areas, but they've been flipping seats that were prior Republican seats, and slowly just gaining more momentum as you head to the federal election. And so the news just doesn't report that kind of stuff with any frequency on a national scale, because they make more money by pushing Donald Trump stuff. Because Donald Trump, the circus and the bullshit that comes with it, it just makes them money. And so they push that narrative. So you don't get all that news like that on a consistent basis. Like, for example, today, President Biden went over two, they passed a 200 mark, 200 confirmed judges since he got elected in 3 years ago. Over 200 confirmed judges. And
Wow.
it's a lot. And there will be more confirmed before the election in November. And I think that might be among the most ever, right? And why that's important, judges matter. Because as you wind things through the courts around birth control and abortion and guns and weed and all this kind of stuff, you need judges in there who are fair and impartial and who are not extremists. And so that's why we have a Supreme Court that overturned Roe versus Wade, that overturned Civil Rights Act and affirmative action, because Republicans have focused on that for 50 or 60 years. And you have to, it takes time to get judges in jobs and out of jobs. And it's really important. And so when you have all these local elections that people tend to ignore, that's when these judges get in these roles. So they passed over 200 confirmed judges just today. They hit that number today. So that's big election news. And then if I go back to that Trump trial, I want to say one other thing. One other thing that came out of the Trump trial was the trial, the New York trial, is that it came out in court that two big things. One, that Donald Trump was Maggie Haberman, who works for the New York Times, who actually won a Pulitzer for the New York Times, and Katie Turr, who works for, I think she's on CNN, that they were people that Donald, reporters and journalists, that Donald Trump could call at any time, Maggie, to write positive articles about him or negative articles about his opponents, and Katie Turr to push pro-Donald Trump stuff on the air. Now think about
Wow.
that. They got exposed for pushing pro-Donald Trump stuff. And Maggie Haberman, I forget the number, but I want to say it's over 300 something anti-Hillary Clinton articles when he was running against Hillary Clinton for the New York Times. And that came out in court. And Katie Turr is on TV. And as a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, she was interviewing Nancy Pelosi, and she pushed her, she's trying to say some pro-Trump stuff. And Nancy Pelosi was like, look, you could be a stooge and a lackey for Donald Trump if you want to, but that's not what I'm going to do. And that lady was like sort of stunned. And then a week later, it comes out in court that she was on Donald, not payroll, but that's who his fixers were called to get some pro and some pro Donald Trump and some negative Biden or Hillary or whomever stuff on the air. That's crazy. That's
That's
like,
insane.
so that's like Russian shit. Like where you're controlling the media to that level. And that's not Fox News. That's Katie Turr is on CNN, I believe. That's crazy, huh? And then the other thing that came out of the trial, and we knew, and I think you and I have talked about this, was that Donald Trump was paying the polls to push that he was winning and leading and things like that, that the polls are working for him. That came out in court. That it just, it's stuff that you know, but then you, when you hear it, you just go, what the absolute fuck?
It's mind-boggling. Like, even you hear all this stuff that you're saying, right? So you see it, you read it, you get different perspectives from people really trying to give you information that's more truthful than not. And you don't realize how massive it is until you hear it all in one statement, like you just did. Like, you're getting bits and pieces of what you said, but when you put it into perspective, like you just did, it becomes even just more bone-chilling.
It does. And you know what gets me? It's this piece right here. Okay, so say you are the company, you are the CEO, not the CEO. Say you're a director, right? You work for the polling company, you're a director. Or if you're Katie Turr, you sit on the air, right? If you're Maggie Haberman, you write articles for New York Times. But let's say this polling company, right? You're a director and your job is, you know, your team does the polling and you get the data and everything, right? And then your boss says, you know, make that polling work for Donald Trump, right? And so you know that's inaccurate, but then you do it. Then you go home, right? And most likely, if you're in that job, you're getting paid pretty well, you have a nice home somewhere, and most likely you're going to be 40 to 60 years old, most likely you're going to be a white male. You're going to have a wife. You're going to have two or three kids, right? Maybe you have a kid that's still in college. You might be a grandparent, but maybe you're not a grandparent, but you have, you know, your kids maybe have families and, you know, in college or something like that. And you sit around and you see the news. And what if one of your kids say, hey, that's your company with the polling? And you go, yeah. Yeah, we're doing a great job. We're making good money. Like, does it never dawn on you? Do you just not care that you are purposely pushing out inaccurate information? Like, your entire work life is a lie. It's just a lie. Because it boggles the mind to think, like, it's easy to say he was paying the poll people to misrepresent the polls and get it out to the news. But if you take that down to there's an individual somewhere, a person, right? Goes to the store, goes to Safeway, he drives a car, he watches the news, you know, goes watching some streaming shows. But what is that fucking individual thinking? And I think it's a disservice when we don't put a name in the face to that. Like, get out there with your whole chest right now, right? Answer the question, why were you purposely pushing bad, incorrect, misleading information? And if your only answer is what my boss told me, well, you're a son of a bitch. But you don't have the guts to say, I'm not going to push this. I'm going to quit. Right? I'm not going to do that. I can't get over. Or like Katie Turr, sitting there on CNN, you go home after Nancy Pelosi said you're a mouthpiece for stooge, a stooge for Donald Trump. And now the court says, here's the information. Donald Trump's saying, oh yeah, we use her. You go home and say, well, I made a mistake, or you just go, well, you know what? That was just one time. Like, what do you do? What do you do as a you went to journalist school?
Oh, And it's very, don't you compare? I don't know if this is a good comparison, but as you think about the integrity of what you sign up for, right? You go to a journalist, it's to tell the truth, to uncover the truth, and to provide that no matter without any prejudice, right? So you just provide information with no opinion. It's very similar to when we talk about the medical field. At least maybe my comparison might be slightly off or skewed, but it's very similar to, in my thoughts, is that during COVID, we have the medical field just stepping up to the plate. Then we get into people who are in the medical field when a vaccine comes out and says they will not take the vaccine because, in my opinion, they took a Hippocratic oath to protect people. So it feels like it's on the same level to say, as a journalist, you take an oath to have unbiased information, news given, same as a nurse or a doctor, you took a Hippocratic oath to protect others. So even if you don't feel good about the vaccine, you know that taking the vaccine will help others. I don't know how we got here.
Right. And you know, I think of, I'm not certain, but I believe there's only a couple outside of government. I think there may be only a couple of actual professions that are mentioned in the Constitution. And the first one is the media, right? The First Amendment is all based on the media, that you have the right to free speech and say shit, and you can write about the government and, without fear of persecution or reprisal. Like, it's literally built into our Constitution. The First Amendment is all about free speech and being able to speak to those in power, right? That's what the press, the right of a free press to speak to those in power, to tell people what the government is doing, right? And that's why there's so much work around what's called FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, meaning the press will go to the courts and say, under the Freedom of Information Act, we are the press. We have a right to know where the government is spending our money, where the government is giving contracts to people, what the government hiring is. Like, all of that is based on the free press. And imagine a government official then going to the press and say, "Do say this, do this, do this." It throws everything out of whack, because now you are just what's called state-run propaganda. That's all you are. You're just propaganda. You're no longer objective. You're no, like, you cannot be trusted. And the fact that neither the New York Times or CNN have fired either of them, they haven't fired them. Like, they're still in the job. Katie Turr, she's KATY, Katie Turr, TUR. She's still on the air covering the regular news like Donald Trump, even though she's been on his payroll. Like, in secret. Like, that was in secret. I mean, the conflict is just beyond anything. And if either of them had any shame, they would resign from those jobs.
Yeah.
Like, you have no credibility. You know what that's like, sir? Because you and I were in, or you still are, but we've been in sales, you know, for a great part of our careers. If you are caught cheating, you lose all credibility, and you will always have to justify when you have a big sale or a big sales month or something like that, because you will always be under scrutiny because you were cheating that one time.
Yep. You're never, it'll always be part of your story.
Always, always. And you could end up being the best salesperson for a department or a company or region. You get your recognition. It can all be audited. It can all be perfect. There'll be someone standing in an audience going, "That person's a cheater."
Oh.
It never goes away. And these people are still on the news because they have no shame. Like, it is crazy. So buying polls and paying off or having reporters in their pocket, that also came out in the trial. So that's some political stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, do we lump in this political conversation? Do we lump in? Well, first of all, I'm gonna have if I had a husband, I'd have to ask him. Do we lump in Harrison Buckner or Butcher into this conversation?
Okay.
Mother Butker.
Oh my God, that guy. So yeah, Harrison Butker You know what? Look, change your last name. You
No,
don't
I
have
think he likes it
to.
like that.
My God. So that guy is a kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs football team, which, I mean, let's be honest, they should not be called the Chiefs. Like, that's horrible.
No.
So he gives a speech. He's Catholic. He's like one of those diehard, extra extreme Catholics that even Catholics don't like. And he gave a speech to the graduating class, like those commencement ceremony speeches, and he just went off, right? He went off on, he even criticized President Biden, who's also Catholic. He said he's not really Catholic because he supported abortion, right? And he criticized Black Lives Matter, affirmative action, abortion, IVF, and then, you know, his big
LGBTQ
top,
plus.
LGBTQ plus community and recognition. And then his, you know, then he went off on women and said, you know,
At a graduation, let's not forget that this was
at
as
a
a graduation,
right, you
somebody
talk to
that's
people 4 year
4 years.
degrees, right? 4 year degrees. He's saying, look, you guys may get jobs and all that, but you really find your life's true vocation when you get married and have some babies.
Oh my God. Because he is in a religious, I think it's like a Latin group that is actually against the Pope.
Yes, they are. Yeah. And the Pope hate them, the nuns hate, everybody hate them. Because they're the Pope called them out. He said they're just white supremacists. That he said they're not really Catholics, they're just white supremacists. And they use our religion to spew their shit. Or the Pope didn't say shit, but
Ooh.
in his words, that's what he said. And he was right. And you know what? Look, Colin Kaepernick took a knee because he
A
said,
knee,
fuck
racial injustice.
racial injustice, and the league went batshit crazy. And right now on Fox News, the same people that went off on Colin Kaepernick are saying, well, this man has a right to his, Harrison Buckner has a right to his free speech and his opinion. People should leave him alone.
Like, this is where we're at. How do you can't compare you just
Right?
the
But here's what
audacity,
I'm saying.
so.
Look, I mean, to rip you, here's something else about that speech, though. Okay, the nuns at that school wrote about him, said, we don't agree with that. The NFL said, hey, we don't agree with that. But in that auditorium, when he was done, those women he was talking to, they gave him a standing ovation.
No, they didn't. I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, they gave him a standing ovation. Now, maybe a couple were pissed off, because, you know, there's always some. But for the most part, that's a conservative Catholic school, and that's the shit that they be teaching in there. And they sat there and gave him a standing ovation. Now, I don't believe that the majority of those women are going to walk out of there, you know, find their husband, have a baby, and be done. They're going to be professionals. This guy's own mother is a scientist and leads the, I don't know if it's chemotherapy or something like that at Emory University. Like, she is a professional working woman. Like, the very woman that he said should not exist. And so this makes me think that he has some big mommy issues. And if you go by TikTok, he's had some relationship with men in,
Yep.
right? And if you look at his pictures, you look, I'm not gay, I'm not in the community. But the gay people I follow online are saying it's perfectly obvious this guy is gay.
Well, I think the cheetah print necktie threw
Cheated pretty
it
bad. And apparently, you know, some of the TikTokers are saying that allegedly he went through conversion therapy. And you know that's some bullshit.
And I believe TikTok, listen, they are better than the FBI.
That is.
I don't know, but and you know what's interesting is that the Chiefs then come out with their schedule, their 2024, is a 2024, 2025 schedule. And the amount of comments, this is why people are funnier than I give them credit for, especially on the internet. The comments from women when they launched that was unbelievable. Like, oh, do you still buy tickets? Am I, since I'm a woman, can I buy tickets? I'm gonna have to ask my husband if I can come to the game. Like,
I'm in
it
the
went
kitchen.
on and
I'm in
on.
the kitchen with my babies. I won't be able to watch the games.
I
I mean, talk about a PR nightmare for your team.
And why nobody's really come out and said anything, right? I find it, you can't, you already mentioned Kaepernick, but to think about the amount of times that was in the news and how dare he do that to the national anthem, how dare he disrespect the country, and to have it, well, we know why. I mean, it's but let's just call it what it is.
It's really
But
ugly.
it's really ugly. to think about, and this is, I asked this to you earlier, like, how did we get here? And do you think we got here? Now, we've always had issues with racism in this country, but did we get here because of 2020 and like, or 2016
You
with
know,
Trump getting in office? Did we get to this, or has this always been here and now it's just amplified?
well, I think yes to both of those questions. You know, a lot of social watchers and sociologists and things like that will tell you, you know, we have an undercurrent of racial issues in this country, right? I mean, and that's no secret. Everybody understands that. And I personally believe that because our country has never had what other countries call a Truth and Reconciliation Committee, right, group, where we look at, look at where we've come from, look what happened and what was done, and work through that and issue the apologies, do some reparations, you know, put some things in place to fix things and make things better. And you know, you can move forward from that. We attempted some of those things in piecemeal. I mean, that's what the Voting Rights Act was. That's what the Civil Rights Act was. That's what affirmative action was. Those are like piecemeal things. And even we even see them in how we work in our work lives, that we have to start, you know, when you have to start saying, what is your race and gender and ethnicity on applications? That's because through years and decades of lawsuits of companies not hiring everybody, so the government starts saying, you know, you have to report who you're hiring. We're going to make sure that you're making things fair. You can't just hire, you know, one type of person or something. You have to advertise jobs. And all this comes out of, you know, years and decades of working through that stuff. And then in America, with every advance we make, sociologists will tell you there's always a backlash. So, for example, you know, some of the big ones that people know, you're aware, like when schools were desegregated, right? That was advancement because it was determined that schools that served underprivileged, poor Black people did not have funds, did not have buildings, and didn't have plumbing, didn't have books. And it was unequal. And the Supreme Court said, you can't do that. You have to, if you're using public money, like, you know, these poor Black people were taxpayers, but they didn't have schools. So the Supreme Court said, okay, we have to desegregate schools. And so that is a monumental step forward. Well, then the backlash was that was the creation of charter schools. So then white people said, we're gonna have private schools that white people only, that because it's private. And we're not taking government money, then we could do whatever we want. And so that was the backlash to that. And so then when you go, well, okay, then you make some advancements around, I don't know, you know, the next week, that hiring practices, right? These things have to be fair and equitable. You got to interview people. Well, then companies start saying, well, you know what? Then we're gonna make it so. We're going to hire more women. And so that will satisfy our diversity as opposed to hiring, you know, Black, Mexican, Latino, you know. So that was the backlash. And so then you get all the way into Ronald Reagan. A lot of things can trace back to Ronald Reagan. You can say, well, Ronald Reagan said, you know, only Black women get welfare queens. You know, that came out during him, even though that was never true. So then he said, I'm gonna cut all welfare. And you know, and we're not gonna talk about AIDS. Like you get a backlash to all the advancements. And so you get Barack Obama elected. And you know what happened when he got elected? Then the Tea Party started. And all they were just awful people, right? And then that sort of died down. Then you get Donald Trump, and it escalates. And so the short answer to your story is, I don't think it started with Donald Trump, right? It didn't start like the undercurrent has always been there. But one of the things that Donald Trump did that was very unique, and it's in his logo, right? The Make America Great Again. is it's that word again. It's the again. And because a lot of my people said, tell me when that was. That again tells me that there's some time in the past where America was great. When was America great? And there were, Donald Trump made it very, very easy for some people, because he did it. He set the example. I can say what I want to say about anything without any consequences. It's that. And so he gave people who wanted to say and do things without consequence an avenue to do that. And even though they would get consequences, but he would tell them, you don't, and you don't have to, you don't have to like foreigners or immigrants. You don't have to be guarded in saying anything, right? You can say anything. Don't worry about it. You don't have to be politically correct. That made everything seem like it was evil. You don't have to be woke, right? You don't have to like Black Lives Matter. You could say Blue Lives Matter. Everything, you could just say all these things and do these things, and it doesn't matter because we run this country. It's us. We own it. Barack Obama's not American, right? That stuff. And then you get his, he pushes that. He pushes that out and he finds an audience. Now, let me say something. Even though his audience is majority white men, he loops in Hispanic men, he loops in Black men, he loops in Asian men, right? Because what underlines his whole thing is not just racial, it's gender. And it is men are on top, we rule, we don't want equality, we don't want equity, we don't want gay folk, we don't want nothing. We just want all the power to ourselves. And then I, speaking as a Black man, will say there is a 6 to 8% of Black men, they want the same thing. They want what's next. They want what white men have. They want what's next. That's why you get the Kanyes, you get the you get those Black Republicans, right? You get people like Byron Daniels, Daniel Cameron, you get Herschel Walker, and then you get people like Andrew Yang and all these clowns like that, Vivek Ramaswamy, those guys, they want that type of power too. And so there is, or even if you remember you looking at those guys arrested for January 6th, those leaders, a lot of those guys were Latino, one was mixed Black, one was Asian. They're leading January 6th QAnon Proud Boys. Right? And so it's not the majority. I want to make sure I say that. But my lane is calling out Black men that get caught up in that bullshit. That's my lane. And so it didn't start with Donald Trump. That's the short answer. But he did open up a new avenue for these people to be doing what they're doing. And unless you beat that back, right, you don't want that to spread. And so his family, his followers are saying, we don't care about the Republican Party. We are the Donald Trump Party. Now think about that. Like that is some crazy bullshit. And so when he put the third right, the fourth right in his advertisement, when you see Nazi flags at his rally and that kind of stuff, you go, well, what are they saying? They don't care about any political ideology. They just want power so they can hurt whomever they want to hurt without any consequences. And that hurt turns into actual real violence. That's what they want. And he said that. He said, yeah, we want to execute people, our enemies. We want to execute the press. We want to execute immigrants. We want that power. And that's, and some people just sit by and go, okay.
I'm voting for the third party because I don't like either of them.
Right. And so you give your party, you give your power away. Because look, this is America. Whether you like it or not, it's a binary choice. You get choice A, you get choice B. Choice C is not an option. Choice C is just you're giving your power to the Republican Party. And it's unfortunate that some people think like that. That, oh, you know what? Both parties are the same. Or are they really? So one party has passed 400 some anti-LG gay community laws. One party has outlawed abortion almost everywhere, except in blue states. And they're going after that. One party has outlawed contraception. Virginia governor passed a bill to make contraception illegal.
Oh my God.
Right. So it has to go through the legislature. I think they're going to block it, but doing that. So the parties are not the same. President Biden has been trying to negotiate a fucking truce and ceasefire in goddamn Gaza and Israel for 7 months now. Donald Trump said, you know what? We will blow Gaza off the map. And Jared Kushner said, that's some great beachfront property we can develop. Like the choices are not the same. Like they are not the same. And so anyone who says that tells me you're a fucking idiot.
You're an idiot. You're an idiot. You're wasting your vote and you're voting for Republican. Because yeah, to your point, Donald Trump's administration is like rolling back, what did we talk about? The guidance protecting transgender, a lot of stuff under like transgenders attempted to legalize firing workers for being gay or transgender. Like these are the things that are on the list.
And what
And
else
now,
on their list is going after interracial marriage. They want to get rid of that and get rid of all the laws that says you can't marry children and that children can't work full time if they're underage. Get rid of all that stuff. Like it's what they do is they do so much that the average person just can't keep up with it.
it's so much. You're right. Like it's so much. And I think to the point of me saying, did this start happening in 2016? I feel overwhelmed with how much they're trying to do, like in a negative way. I feel so like I can't keep up with all the laws that they're trying to pass. We're being distracted, and then all of a sudden you see just a plethora of issues where you're like, how the fuck is this come into play? How are they going to try to put into effect that you can fire somebody for being gay? Like, how did we get here?
Hey, and you know what else, Sarah? This goes back to what I was talking about earlier, because it's one thing to have that written. Who is the individual that's going to do that? Right. It look, you and I have been in these middle management roles. You mean it's going to come down to just some Joe and Jane Schmo like you and I? Well, you're gay, so I got to fire you.
I'm gonna have to do the work. Yeah. My
Right.
boss said I can fire you because you're gay.
Right. I mean, that's just crazy.
It's insane. This is where the insanity comes in because there's a lot of stuff that you said very clearly. Like it's not because of Donald Trump. It has been here. We've been fighting these injustices for quite some time. And I think ever since we started seeing some of these big, Roe versus Wade, we'd never thought we'd see that happen in our lifetime, right? Like, this is the anti-trans and LGBTQ plus community being attacked on so many levels, like guns in schools. Like, how did we get to like you teachers can carry guns in school to the Virginia person that says, I want to ban contraceptive, like the fuck? Like, we didn't just wake up. But I know that this is, you said it takes 40 years, 40 to 50 years to get to this level, to put the people in place that can make these decisions. And if we vote Trump in 2024, this shit is going to be, it's going to take 40 to 50 years to reverse it.
Yeah, he already said, look, if when I get in, I should have a third term. Like he's saying that, meaning he wants to be president. Like every dictator wants to be president or emperor or whatever for life. They never want to go out of office, right? And so he's saying that out loud, like it's no big deal. And that is like, there's nothing more anti-American than that. Like we do not have that system where you are just in office by birthright. Like that's why. The United States had the revolution to get rid of that king shit. And when George Washington was, it was proposed to him, well, you should be king. He was like, fuck that. We just got out of that shit. And so we have, election. And then it used to be you could be elected three or more than two times. And finally, the country was like, nah, that shit lasted too long. I think it was almost Roosevelt or someone guy like that, four-time president. They were like, get that out of here. So they stopped that. You get two terms and you get the fuck out of there. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Kick rocks.
You do like President Obama, go jet skiing in the Caribbean, right?
Yeah. So does he? So Trump has another trial coming
Yeah, so
after this one.
he does. He has. There's a few because it's not settled in Florida yet. And Florida is the one
Okay.
who stole secret documents. And that judge, he appointed that judge. She should recuse herself, but she hasn't. And that one's still going on. And the one in Georgia is still active. So, yeah, he's his He's trying to get elected to get rid of all that stuff. And then if he doesn't get elected, he wants it to just string it out until he just dies and it just goes away. That's all it.
Which, well,
I
I
mean,
mean,
right? I want you to get your wish, sir.
I don't want to say anything in case it goes back to me, but we are saying a lot without saying anything. All I know what I want for your 60th birthday is basically what we were just trying not to say.
Right, man. I saw somebody put that online and go, every day I wake up just to check social media for one thing, and I never see it.
Because how old did he just turn?
Oh, he's got to be 73, 74.
I feel like he's even older than that.
Okay.
We're gonna have to look that up because I feel like, because Biden is what, 80?
Got to be. Let me see. Trump is 77. You're right.
77.
Let me tell you how old Biden is. This motherfucker is 77. Biden turned 81.
And still, we didn't get to talk about it, but Biden was on the show that I love. I always think that you and Howard Stern have a lot of similar takes on things. But yeah, he was on Howard Stern, and I went to listen to it. I don't know if we did talk about it, but I will
What
say
was
I
it?
thought I would have loved for Howard Stern to talk a little bit more of like his political strategy, but it was very a personal conversation, which was really nice and good to hear. He has a good sense of humor, and he sounded just, I mean, he sounded like a Midwestern guy who that thinks that the American people need a strong foundation, that they need to feel supported. Like, it was just a good-hearted conversation. So if you get the opportunity to go to SiriusXM and listen to that interview, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. I thought Howard Stern did a really good job. But didn't you send me something? Because Howard Stern was at the studio in New York, SiriusXM studio. And wasn't there a line outside of Sirius, but one of the nitwits that were created from Trump's sperm?
Yes, Donald Trump's son, the dumb, they're both dumb, but the big dumb one. What is that guy's name? I don't know. The dumbass one. And so I think he tweeted, because he was at the trial. He finally showed up to the trial and he tweeted a video that shows a crowd of people cheering and things outside the trial. And he said, these are the people that show up to support my father. They don't show this on the news. And people rightly pointed out that that crowd was the people outside of Howard Stern's studio when President Biden was there.
Why did that? I mean, God, dumb and dumber, right?
Oh my God. What I think that family is just they're just liars.
Yeah, they just
It doesn't matter.
narcissistic liars.
Something else that happened, speaking of President Biden, he gave the keynote because this is graduation season, so everybody
Yes.
popping up at places giving speeches. So President Biden was invited by Morehouse College in Atlanta. Morehouse College, where Dr. King went, is a what we call a historically black university and college, and HBCU. And why we have those and why they're called historical is because in America, black people weren't allowed to go to the universities, right? So the Ivy League schools and all these other schools, black people couldn't go. Even though, as a little sidebar, those schools were built by black people, that a lot of those schools' money came from owning and selling slaves, and these schools are still there. So black people started their own colleges. And then after a while, these colleges, they got sanctioned by the government and everything. And then it became an effort to protect them. That's why they call it historically black colleges and universities. Now, some people don't know that those colleges' enrollment generally are about 30 to 40% white. White people go to these colleges. You wouldn't know that on the news because the news is just, they don't go that deep. And so these colleges, most of them are in the South because that's what 65% of black people live in this, what are the Southern states. What used to be the slave owning states. That's where black people still live to this day, 65%. And so these colleges are spread from Texas to Florida. And those are the colleges. When you see a black lawyer on TV, Right, 65% of black lawyers come out of those colleges. 55% of black doctors come out of those colleges. That's where the black professional class are graduating from, right? That's where they come from. And so President Biden was invited by Morehouse College to be to do the keynote, the commencement address. And presidents, vice presidents, the administration, famous people, they all go to these things every year. Like, it's not any big deal, but it is a big deal where the president and vice president are going to show up, right? That's always a big deal. So President Biden went there. And so because we've been having these college protests, the question was, would Morehouse students protest like some of these other colleges? And so they asked the president of Morehouse, like, what will happen if you have these protests and the president's there? He said, let me tell you something. He said, I'm not calling the police to move out any protesters. Like, you're not going to see my college graduates handcuffed for this graduation ceremony. I don't care who's there. We're not going to do that. He said, if it turns into something, I'll just end the ceremony. That's all. You just end the ceremony and put an end to it. That's what I'll do. He said, but if people want to protest, you could protest respectfully, right? We're not going to disrespect the president. We invited him. He didn't tell us he wanted to come talk. We invited him. So as a guest, we're going to treat him like you're supposed to treat a guest. So President Biden goes to give his speech, right? And one thing about President Biden, look, he's 81 years old. And I say this about almost any white male that I've met that's my age or older, right? You've been in America as long as I have, as long as President Biden have. You know, most people, particularly in the big states, right? Texas, Florida, California, New York, Illinois, the big states, right? And the southern states, of course. You know how to talk to black people, right? It's not like you're from Montana. You never see black people. Like, you know how. And President Biden, 80, what did he say, 81 or something, he knows how to be amongst and talk to black people. Like, he gets it. So he gives this speech. And anytime a president gives a speech, he or she, it's always a he's always going to talk some of his policies. He's going to talk some of world events right now. And then he's going to talk some personal kind of things. And so President Biden did that. He talked about how his administration has passed bills to give the most money ever to HBCUs, like something like $400 or $500 million. And what that money is for, you got to sustain these campuses, these buildings. It's like any historical facility, right? And scholarships and stuff like that. And he talked about the part of his administration that's been focused on not just crime, right? And relating that to black people, but other stuff, getting rid of these college, this student debt, because most people that own student debt are black people, right? And then poor people after that, but it's black people. And so how he's been getting rid of student debt now, now it's up to, I think, a couple of $100 billion worth, right? And then efforts around clean air, efforts around clean air and water, home ownership, getting rid of late fees, paying your rent go towards your credit score. And he talked about all these different policies and stuff like that. And then he cracked some jokes because, he's like grandpa. He tells some stories about, his youth and how he lost his son. And he talked about, their charge, what they need to do in the world, and how we are the owners and recipients of democracy. And our job is to maintain democracy. And it's done every time you have a chance to vote, not just every 4 years, every 2 years, all this kind of stuff like that. And you know what? One of the speakers, I think he was a valedictorian. He gave, the valedictorian gives this speech, President Biden sitting right there, and he was a black man. And he gave his speech and he said, and we want a ceasefire in Gaza, right? And we want peace. We want respect for the Palestinians and so forth. He gave us no speech. There was no fights. There was no, nothing happened. And students applauded. And there were some students in the audience who, when the president got up, they did a little protest. They stood up and they turned their backs, which is very common in colleges and things like that. But it was like 2 minutes. And it was like maybe eight people out of hundreds. And then the thing went on and then it ended and it was fine. It was fine. Because you know why? Because you can protest. It's okay, because going back to that First Amendment thing, You can protest in your school and things. They have provisions for that. But if you start throwing things, if you start, trying to rush the stage, if you block people from coming in, shit gonna go down. You don't
Yeah.
have to do that. There's a way to do it. And it went off without a hitch. And I'm gonna tell you something. The media had hyped up what was gonna happen. What was gonna happen with President Biden? What would the student protests do? And then when nothing happened, they just dropped the story because they wanted something salacious and ugly to happen. And it didn't happen. They wanted like what's happening at Columbia or UCLA or Duke, and none of that stuff happened because it doesn't have to happen.
Damn, sir. I mean, we are like we've been talking. You've been giving us a lot of information. We've hit over an hour already. Like, can
Oh
you
my God, I
believe?
can't believe it.
Did you get a drink of water? So we have to give a quick rundown because we always talk about the shows that we're
Yeah.
watching.
What are you watching?
I am watching So You Think You Can Dance. I just got caught up on
Oh,
it.
I
I didn't
didn't.
realize it came back.
Whoa, okay. Wait a minute, so we're
So,
off the air for a minute.
yeah, it was off. They didn't do anything last year. And then, so Twitch's wife, Allison, is one of the judges.
Oh no, that's both nice and sad.
It's really good. I love watching dancers. I just enjoy the movement. I love it. So You Think You Can Dance, I'm watching. I am also still in the process of Dark. Like, I have to pay attention to that because you have to read it, but I
Yes.
have a sneaky suspicion it's going to be really great. Love Undercover, I mean, it's not disappointing at all. Like, legitimately, they put four or three episodes out, I think, on Sunday or something last week. So I had to binge all of those. So I'm all caught up on that. The Vanderpump reunion, and I'm in the middle of the Valley reunion. So I haven't spent a lot of time watching really good TV because of this reality show stuff, but I will say I cannot wait to watch Bridgerton.
Oh, so we're going to binge that tonight. So we
You
watched
are.
one episode and it's very good. And so I think right now only four episodes are out and the remaining four come out in June.
I hate that. Why are they doing that?
So dumb. It's so dumb. Like you have the episodes. What are you doing?
It just makes no sense to me. But Game of, so House of the Dragon, that's also coming on in June 16th as well. So I'm
Yeah.
excited about that because I just saw some previews on it. Have you heard of, I'm a Marion George fan. I like Game of Thrones. I like Bridgerton, all the Bridgertons, the Buccaneers that I watch on Apple TV. Loved those period pieces. There's a show called Reign, REIGN, which I guess is another sort of, well, it's not sort of, it is a period piece, but I heard it's really good. Have you heard anything about that?
Is that on HBO?
I think so. Like, it's very similar to like Gilded Age too, I believe.
Yes, Gilded Age was so good this past season. So I haven't watched Rain, but it is on my viewing list. And I have to finish Buccaneers. That's on Apple. That's really good.
It's so good. I think I have to watch. So I did watch the season finale of Palm Royale, which was really good. Good
That's the
cliffhanger.
Kristen Wiig one, right?
Yes. And then
Started
Loot.
Hacks.
I did not start Hacks yet. I think I'm gonna wait till the season is completely done because I don't know if I can wait every week for another episode.
Right, I hate that. So that's how. So we're gonna binge. We watched one episode of
Bridgerton.
Bridgerton just last night, and so we're gonna finish watch the other three tonight. And then I started what I finished The Circle.
Okay.
I'm just gonna give a spoiler because no one's. I mean, Circle is a small kind of deal. There's five seasons on Netflix.
Five seasons?
There's five seasons of The Circle out there. Yeah,
Damn.
and the one of the catfish won.
Oh.
Yes, a catfisher
Damn.
just absolutely wild. A catfisher won. So I am almost done with season one of Selling the OC.
Oh yeah. Season one?
Yeah,
Oh.
because I watched Selling the original one.
Selling Sunset.
Yeah, Selling Sunset, but I had never watched the OC. It's really good. It's the same
Okay.
people, just younger, but it's really good. Like, it's messy. I mean, it is. That first season is messy.
Messy. Wait till you get into this next season. It's even messy. Or
Yes.
season three, messy.
Oh, I can't wait. And so I'm trying to think, what else did I start watching? I started watching, I got back into Loot again. Very good.
Love it.
I love Maya Rudolph. She's
Yep.
so good. Tonight is the finale of Survivor.
Oh yeah, you still watch that.
I still watch Survivor. And I started watching, remember the old Eco Challenge? It's like a version of the Amazing Race, but it's like we're real outdoors kind of people. Well, anyway, there's one on I think it's on Discovery, and it's called Expedition New Zealand. And so it's I think it's 50 people. I think it's wait a minute. It's maybe 10 or 15 pairs of people because you race as pairs, and you have to do it's just a race. And so there's different stages of the race, and it's all this type of stuff. So it's hiking, climbing, kayaking, and you make your way through the New Zealand outback. And
Oh.
it's really hard. And like every leg of the race is like 12 hours. And if you don't make it to a certain point, or if you're the last one to make it to a certain point, then you're out of the race. And it's just really, really difficult. So the people are like mountaineers, rescue people, and this kind of stuff. So, and I watch it for the disaster. I mean, someone's gonna win, but I like people to get hurt, their feet get rotted out, this kind of stuff. So it's so that just started. And that's episode one just happened the other night. But I already enjoy it because I like those kind of races, because I would never do any of that stuff.
Yeah, and in Australia with the kangaroos that look like gym bros and the spiders. No, thank you. I'm not going there. No, thanks. Hard pass.
I don't want to talk about this one too much, but because I know we got to go. But my favorite couple is there's a couple. His name is Creighton. Like, what the hell? I think her name
Oh.
is like Ashley or something. But right before they got selected to be on the show, their divorce was final.
Oh, there are a couple on this show.
They're already bickering, and I'm like, oh, I love it.
Oh my God. As always, I appreciate, I love your perspective in the political world, your understanding and overwhelmingly education. It's not even education, but your learning on politics, where we stand, your insights are so valued. And I know a couple of people that I listen to always seem to learn something from you when we have these conversations. So it's really important, especially as we get closer to voting season.
Yes, we're going to be talking politics. I have a lot of it in my magazine too, Dear D Magazine. It's a monthly digital magazine. It's free, and I get journalists from all over the country to write in the magazine and for free because if you just ask people, they'll do it. And just sign up at deardeanpublishing.com/subscribe. It's right there. It's free. It comes out every month. We got political stuff in there. So yeah. So Jen. So next week, let's talk some more movies and TV because we missed out on a lot this week, and we'll have the results of that Trump trial, and we need to get in that P. Diddy thing some more.
Oh my God, we definitely need to talk about P. Diddy and just,
Yeah, because I want to blast his motherfucking ass.
yeah, let's do it. I think it's a constant reminder so that just because he's not in the news doesn't mean he should not be talked about.
Exactly. All right. Have a great week.
Yeah, bye.
Love this podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review. Visit the episode description to find out how you can connect with the hosts on social media. Voice Memos is a production of Dear Dean Publishing. All rights and trademarks reserved. No portion of this podcast shall be reproduced commercially without consent.